Translation: It is personally experienced by me that those who are always full of cares and anxieties due to desiring contact of the senses with their objects can cross the ocean of nescience on a most suitable boat, the constant chanting of the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The symptom of a living being is that he cannot remain silent even for some time. He must be doing something, thinking of something, or talking about something. Generally, the materialistic men think and discuss about subjects which satisfy their senses. But as these things are exercised under the influence of the external illusory energy, such sensual activities do not actually give them any satisfaction. On the contrary, they become full with cares and anxieties. This is called Maya, or what is not. That which cannot give them satisfaction is accepted as an object for satisfaction. So Narada Muni, by his personal experience, says that satisfaction for such frustrated beings engaged in sense gratification is to chant always the activities of the Lord. The point is that the subject matter only should be changed. No one can check the thinking activities of a living being, nor the feeling, willing, or working processes. But if one wants actual happiness, one must change the actual subject, the subject matter only. Instead of talking of the politics of a dying man, one might discuss the politics administered by the Lord himself. Instead of relishing activities of the cinema artists, one can turn his attention to the activities of the Lord with his eternal associates, like the gopis and lakshmis. The Almighty Personality of Godhead, by his causeless mercy, descends on the earth and manifests activities almost on the line of the worldly man, but at the same time extraordinarily, because he is almighty. He does so for the benefit of all conditioned souls, so that they can turn their attention to transcendence. By doing so, the conditioned soul will gradually be promoted to the transcendental position and easily cross the ocean of nations, the source of all miseries. This is stated from personal experience by such an authority as Sri Narada Muni, and we can have the same experience also if we begin to follow in the footsteps of the great sage, the dearmost devotee of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Bancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So before I start, I'd like to seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees so that I may say something worth hearing. Some devotees may not want to give their blessings. Karuna Prabhu is not shaking his head, refusing to give the blessings. But if I have the blessings of the majority of the devotees, I think I stand a good chance. So today's verse is a continuation from the section of the Bhagavatam in which Narad Muni is describing to Srila Vyasadeva, his disciple, how he came to Krishna consciousness. So in this section, we not only learn a bit more about Narad Muni, but we learn some amazing lessons. Because once we know how he became perfected, we can also see how we can apply the same principles that he followed in his life, in our life as well, so we can become just as perfected as he is. So in today's verse, Narad Muni is giving some amazing insight to Srila Vyasadeva about different principles that he has personally experienced. And in this verse, he explains, first of all, gives the reason why the living entities in this material world is suffering. Everyone in this world is suffering. And the reason why, Narad Muni explains, is because they're full of anxiety and cares. And we see this practically in the world outside, that the vast majority of people are not happy, right? Many people commit suicide and take their own lives, even though they claim that the world is advanced and society has reached such a level of comfort and development. So despite they're not wanting to suffer, they still keep on suffering. And in this verse, Narad Muni explains why. He explains that it's because they do not actually know the actual solution to their suffering. Right? All their solutions are flawed because they're all based on externals. Right? He explains that there are two types of solutions to problems. One type of solution is one solution dealing with the symptoms of a problem. It's referred to as symptomatic. And the example I've given is just like when someone goes to the doctor and they have a problem, the doctor could look at a problem from the symptomatic level. So if you have a headache, then I'll just give you some headache tablets to deal with the headache. Now, there's another form of solution which is called pathological, which is dealing with the deep cause, the root cause of the problem. Generally, we see in Ayurvedic medicine, when someone has got a health issue, Ayurveda doesn't just deal with the symptoms, but Ayurveda also goes deep down to the root of the problem. So a lot of the time, it's got something to do with blood. You have to purify the blood. So the materialistic person looking for a solution to their problem, address them on a symptomatic level. They don't go deeper. But a spiritualist goes deeper. The reason why is because a spiritualist understands that the external is only just a temporary manifestation of a deeper reality, the spiritual reality. And once one addresses the spiritual reality, then they can overcome all problems, material problems and spiritual problems also. So what is the deep what is the root of all suffering? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the root of all suffering is ignorance. The acharyas explain this also throughout their literatures. Ignorance of one's spiritual identity. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that when the living entity decides to turn his back away from Krishna, he comes in contact with the material energy And she has two potencies. One is the throwing potency and one is the covering potency. So she covers his knowledge. Knowledge of his spiritual identity and knowledge of his relationship with the Supreme Lord. And then she throws him into another concept of life. And he's forced to act according to the dictates of the modes of material nature because he's developed and accepted a different identity. Right? And when he does this, he becomes attached to the modes of nature, the enjoyment he gets from the modes of nature. And this attachment gives rise to misery because material pleasure is temporary in nature. So even if you manage to get it, which is very rare, you have to lose it anyway. And he develops fear and anxiety because he's seen from experience that everyone else has lost it. Intrinsically within his heart, he knows he's going to lose it anyway. So this fear is there within the heart. So he's not really able to enjoy it because he's always in anxiety that he might lose it, someone else will take it away from him, like that. So the root cause of all suffering is misidentification with the body. So Narayana Muni explains this here. And the solution is not to try to change one's externals, not to try to invest in social infrastructure, not to exit the European Union, not to build a wall between America and Mexico. The solution is to reconnect and reestablish our dormant relationship with the Supreme Lord. Yeah? And Narayana Muni explains how this is done. And he gives the solution here. And in this verse he explains that the solution is basically the constant chanting of the transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now for some people this may sound rather simplistic. Right? Just by hearing about God, all my problems will go away. So the solution is simple, but it isn't simplistic. Right? There's a difference between the two. It is simple, and it works, because you see that in life, generally, what we hear shapes our destiny. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that we are the result of what we put our faith in. And what we put our faith in would determine what we become like. And how does that work? Is that you develop a certain character and certain tendencies based on what you hear. And the more you hear something, there's a psychological change that takes place where it starts to affect your perception and your worldview. And when your worldview changes, you also adopt a certain character, and your character leads to you performing certain types of activities in certain situations. And those activities result in reactions. So whatever we experience is because of our activities, and whatever we perform as activities is because of what we hear. So it's pretty simple. In Shastriks explained, Shravana, everything starts from Shravana. Then, once you hear, then contemplation, and then application. Right? So by hearing, we become. Sound vibration is very powerful. So you see the example of a child who's born. He has no evil tendencies. Right? No racist tendencies, no sexist tendencies. But by hearing regularly from people who were supposed to be educating him, he develops particular types of tendencies because of the sound he's exposed to. So sound has got a very powerful effect on our consciousness because it leads to a psychological conception, which leads to behavioral change, which leads to destiny, ultimately. So here in this verse, Narayana Muni explains that everything, the solution to all problems begins by hearing about Krishna. And the reason for why people should, by constant chanting in hearing on the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord, is because one's conception will change, one will get purified, and one will get freed from anxiety ultimately. So in Bhagavatam, there's a series of verses where it explains that by the Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who's developed the urge to hear his messages. So by regularly attending a Bhagavatam class and hearing Krishna Katha, one's consciousness changes. And we can see this practically in the example of Narad Muni also. Narad Muni went from somebody to nobody and back again to somebody, all based on sound vibration. Narad Muni, we know from his life story, he was a demigod in the previous lifetime. He was a Gandharva. And he had been invited by the assembly of demigods to perform at a sacrifice that they had put together to appease the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was a kirtaniya. But for some reason, he went there with the wrong understanding, the wrong conception, and the wrong attitude. And instead of chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prabhupada explains, he chose to start singing Bollywood songs. And because of this, the rest of the demigods and the sages assembled there became infuriated, and they cursed him that if you're acting like a Shudra, you come to an assembly like this, and the whole purpose of this assembly is to please the Supreme Lord, to get the blessings of the Supreme Lord, and you decide to engage in glorifying mundane personalities and singing about mundane topics. You're behaving like a Shudra, so therefore they cursed him to take birth as a Shudra in his next life. So wrong sound vibration led Narad Muni to get cursed. Then when he ended up in the Shudra lifetime, through the association, the great sages' association that he had for 4 months during the rainy season, he could hear regularly from them about the Supreme Lord. And by hearing about the Supreme Lord, he became purified to the point where he developed love for the Supreme Lord. So he went from zero to hero through the sound vibration. He became Narad Muni. So it's the sequence, the whole thing, the whole transformation in Narad Muni's life was just based on sound vibration. What he heard, what he emanated. So it's very powerful. What we hear and what we talk about is very powerful. And it's very important that we discriminate what we allow to enter our consciousness. Because what you hear through the ears will enter your mind, as quoted earlier, and eventually, through constant contemplation, will enter your heart and affect your behavior. So in this first line, when he's making his point, and he's explaining it to Srila Vyasadeva, sharing his experience, and with these words, he'll go on to change Vyasadeva's conception also. So now, one very important point, which is alluded to in the translation also, which is important for us, because we've spoken about hearing, the importance of hearing, right? But knowing the importance of something does not mean that we will apply ourselves properly. Process. You may know how important something is, but unless and until you actually apply yourself, you cannot derive the benefit, right? Because there's two levels of understanding. There's the theoretical, and there's realization. Again, going back to the previous verse, from the previous point I alluded to, you hear, you contemplate, and then you apply. Right? So Narad Muni explains here that he has seen, he's got personal experience of the effects of chanting. So how did he get his personal experience? Because that's the same thing we also want. Because we come to Bhagavatam every day, we hear Bhagavatam every day, but some of us are still struggling to finish our 16 rounds. Right? Some of us are still struggling to wake up in the morning and attend the morning program. Some of us are still struggling to take to the process of Krishna consciousness with full fervor. So if hearing is so powerful, why is it that despite the amount of time and energy we're investing in our hearing, we don't derive the benefit just like Narad Muni? What are we doing wrong? Yeah? So by looking at the life of Narad Muni, we can get some practical tips. Jishirada Gokula Nanda ki. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Shishi Goni Tai ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. So how come we can't make as much advancement as Narad Muni? First of all, that's a question that's worth discussing. The first thing is because we don't have that conviction, right? It's all mechanical. The chanting, the hearing that we're doing because we have to. We're doing because we've been told that we should hear, right? But to derive the benefit of hearing requires a certain degree of conviction in the process of hearing, right? So by hearing about people who derive the benefit of hearing, we develop the same kind of conviction, develop an intellectual conviction. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that there are various reasons why one does not have taste for chanting. One does not have taste for the process of Krishna consciousness. He explains that one of the reasons are offenses, one of the reasons are attachment to material enjoyment, and one of the reasons is because one is not clear about the process of Krishna consciousness. He calls it tattva vibhrama. Vibhrama means delusion. We're in illusion about the process of Krishna consciousness. We don't understand deeply our position as a servant of Krishna. We don't understand deeply the position of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we don't have a strong enough understanding about the process of devotional service. Right? So we may be hearing regularly, but we don't have a strong enough understanding of what proper hearing implies. Yeah? So the sound is going through the ear and then coming out the other side. And the sound remains with us for some time, but it disappears again because we have not internalized it. Yeah? So that's the difference. So although we are engaging in activity on a regular basis, because we're not doing it effectively, properly, we're not deriving the proper benefit of it. Yeah? So in the life of Narad Muni, we see how Narad Muni developed this kind of conviction in the process and this taste for hearing. Because there's two things we can get from hearing. We get an intellectual conviction, and then we get some spiritual inspiration from hearing. Right? So how did Narad Muni get this conviction and inspiration? If you look at the last time, I also referred to it, because this is the whole point of having these personalities in the Bhagavatam, sharing their experience, is that we're supposed to learn from them. So if you look at the life of Narad Muni, when he had the association of the Bhaktivedantas, which I think is in, this is fifth chapter. Uh, Harmony in that section describes what his behavior was like, what his attitude was like, and what his disposition was like. In that section, he explains that he was self-controlled. He had no attachment for mundane activities. And then he goes on to say, he had discipline and he engaged in the service of the Bhaktivedantas, right? And because he had these characteristics, the sound vibration that he heard could enter in his heart and generate a transformation in his heart. Right? So in Bhagavad Mahatmya, it is described that the characteristics of a good hearer is someone who approaches the Bhagavatam with a respectful attitude, and is inquisitive when he's hearing regularly, seeing how this, whatever he's hearing, applies to his life on a regular basis. So it is called active hearing, right? There's passive hearing and there's active hearing. So many times, because we have spent many years hearing the Bhagavatam, and we hear the same thing again and again, right? And then what happens when we do that is if we've not gone deeply and not been able to connect the Bhagavatam to our daily life, it can become monotonous and boring. Right? So how many times can someone hear, you're not the body, you're not the body, you're not the body? Sometimes the mind tells us that we need something more. It's the same thing every day. Right? So the Acharya explained that the reason why this is because we are still functioning on the material platform. So there are varieties of ways you can relate to different elements, different objects, right? So if you have a spiritual object, you can relate to it either in a spiritual way or a material way. And based on the way you relate to that object, you get a particular result, right? So for example, the deity. The deity is spiritual, right? But someone can come to the deity and relate to the deity in a material way. And if that person relates to the deity in the material way, the deity which is spiritual, which is supposed to be purifying, will not give them the result that they're looking for because they are approaching the deity with an offensive mentality. So when one approaches a spiritual object in a material way, this leads to offense. Just like, for example, right, you have the spiritual master in the same way. Same example of deity, the spiritual master. If one approaches the spiritual master looking at the spiritual master as an ordinary personality, one makes an offense. Right? So therefore, Shastra explains that such a consciousness is a hellish mentality. Now, you have a spiritual object, and you approach that object in a spiritual way, then you get the benefit. If you have a material object, you approach that object in a material way, you get purified, like that. So based on the way you approach a particular object, you get a particular result. So although the Bhagavatam is spiritual, right? Although topics of Krishna are spiritual, non-different from Krishna, if we approach them in the wrong consciousness, we will not get the same benefit. Right? There will be some purification taking place, but it will not be sufficient enough for us to want to give up the lower taste. It's like Narada Muni is explaining here, that the solution to all problems is to develop taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. So unless and until we can hear and chant the glories of the Lord with the right attitude, we'll be in two places at the same time. One foot in the material and one foot in the spiritual. And although the glories of the Lord, hearing them, Krishna Katha is purifying, someone can perform this activity of hearing for 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 millions of years and not derive the benefit from hearing. I've only been practicing Krishna consciousness for a short while. So I can't tell you what it will be like in 30 years for me. But the Shastra explains this vividly. And there are many examples of personalities who came in contact with sun vibration, spiritual sun vibration, and still did not see the light. Yeah? You have the example of Dhritarashtra, the example of Duryodhan, the Supreme Personality of God that came to him directly and spoke to him directly. But because his consciousness was covered by the modes of ignorance and passion, it was an illusion. He couldn't even appreciate that this was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But you have personalities with the right consciousness, even if they're not in a human body, but coming in contact with sun vibration, spiritual sun vibration with the right consciousness, they get purified. One devotee was telling me a story of one of the acharyas in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya became such a great devotee that he compiled so many commentaries on the literatures. His name is Akshobhya Tirtha. And this person, is actually his name appears in Bhagavad Gita, the Parampara. And his personality in one of his past lives was actually a bull who was engaged in the service of the sadhus, the sannyasi disciples of, I believe, Ramanuja or Madhvacharya. And this was a bull that was used to carry the load of the sannyasis. Madhvacharya's books. So he was engaged in service to Madhvacharya. And whenever Madhvacharya would be lecturing to his disciples, this bull would be in the vicinity. But there was something special about this bull. For some reason, whenever Madhvacharya would start speaking, this bull would stop doing whatever he's doing, and chewing the grass or whatever, and start listening attentively. Yeah? So one day Madhvacharya was lecturing his disciples, and he was lamenting that, "I'm concerned. I'm thinking, who's going to continue and propagate this lineage further?" And then at that point, he noticed the bull in the back, and he thought, "Actually, I'm no longer in anxiety, because I know who's going to do it." He's thinking, "Who's that?" That bull. Said, "Do you know why that bull will do it? Because when the sound vibration, Krishna Katha, is going on, the bull stops chewing the grass and starts paying attention. And because this bull is paying attention when Krishna Katha is going on, this bull will become a great personality." And then lo and behold, in his next life, he took birth in the princely order, the royal family. And one day he was frolicking and messing around with his horse. And by accident, he splashed a sadhu with water from a river. And a sadhu chastised him. And he came to his senses. And he took initiation from that sadhu, surrendered to him. And he became a sadhu who ended up writing commentaries on the Sri Vaishnava literatures. Akshobhya Tirtha. So this was a bull which, for whatever reason, accidentally you may say, had the right attitude. Right? And because he had the right attitude, his life was changed forever. So although we know that the purity of the person we're hearing from has a powerful effect on our consciousness, regardless of where we are. Now we have the example of Narad Muni you're listening attentively, that's what you're adding, that's very good. But it's not right. It's Narad Muni and Hiranyakashipu. When Hiranyakashipu went to the mountain to perform austerities, and Narad Muni wanted to play a trick on him, and then he disguised himself, he took the form of a bird, and he sat on a tree next to when Hiranyakashipu was performing austerities and started chanting the names of the Lord, right? And because Narad Muni's purity was such, and Hiranyakashipu was conditioned, he was a demon, but Narad Muni's purity was such that it affected him to a point when he went to enjoy it with his wife, and the sun vibration had purified him sufficiently that at the time of conception, for some reason, Prahlad Maharaj was invited into the womb. Yeah. But this doesn't happen to everybody. Yeah. For it to happen, there has to be, on both sides of the scale, everyone has to be qualified. So Prabhupada explains that the person speaking has to be advanced and has to be pure. But a person hearing has to have the right approach. So it gives the example like conception, at the time of conception. The man has to be not fertile. And the lady has to be fertile. That's the other way around. So if the man is in the proper situation, and the lady is in the proper situation, then everything works well. If there's a discrepancy on each side, on either side, so the lady may be, sterile, right? I think that's the word. It doesn't work. And if the man is sterile, it doesn't work. So both, there has to be a synergy. So the hearer has to have the right attitude, right? So what is the right attitude? Sometimes we hear Bhagavatam and we think, we're hearing the same thing is boring. So how can we develop the right attitude when we're hearing Bhagavatam? In Bhagavat Mahatmya, it's explained that there are, you probably heard this before, but it explains that there are various types of hearers. I was looking it up on the internet this morning because I couldn't find it on the Veda base. But it gives examples of different types of hearers. So the Bhagavat Mahatmya explains that there are four kinds of bad hearers and four kinds of good hearers. This is the amazing thing about the scripture. They give us ample information, amount of information about the process of devotional service. So there is actually no excuse for saying I did not perform my devotional service properly because I didn't know what to do. Everything you need to know from how to start the process, how to remain steady on the process, to how to achieve perfection in the process is clearly delineated throughout the scripture. In Prabhupada's books, and if that's not enough, then you have the previous acharyas also. If you read the books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, everything is there, systematically presented. So in Bhagavat Mahatmya, which incidentally deals with Bhagavatam, it tells you how you should hear the Bhagavatam also. So it gives four kinds of hearers and four kinds of bad hearers and four kinds of good hearers. And the first kind of bad hearer is described in Bhagavatam is they're all using animals as analogies, yeah? Animals as analogies, yeah? Just to make it easier to understand. So the first type of bad hearer described in Bhagavat Mahatmya is referred to as the wolf hearer. So it says that just as the cry of the wolf frightens the deer, which is attracted by the sweet sound of a flute in the forest, the foolish listener whose loud noises create pain to the devotees engaged in hearing the sweet topics of Srimad Bhagavatam is called a wolf listener. Right? So sometimes in the association of devotees, you hear, and then there is always someone who's coming with all sorts of counter arguments because they're not actually there to hear properly. They're coming to challenge. They're coming with so many misconceptions that they want to actually be the person sharing, the person speaking, due to false ego. So sometimes we may be in the audience and then we're hearing and thinking, what is this talking about? I know more than this person. And the first opportunity we get, and this is usually questions time, then we come up with the most elaborate question we can come up with just to try to embarrass the speaker and to also show how great a hearer we are, how great a personality we are. This type of hearing is referred to as the wolf hearing, right? Causing a disturbance in association of devotees by giving our own sound vibrations, right? And then the second type of hearer is a type of hearer is referred to as the Burunda bird. The Burunda bird is a type of bird that lives in the Himalayas. And this bird, one distinguishing characteristic of this bird is that it has the tendency to tell others whatever instruction it has heard without practicing it himself. So it's explained that one who teaches others but does not follow these instructions is called a Burunda bird, a Burunda listener. Yeah? So before we come to the Bhagavatam class, there should actually be a prayer made by us that, please, dear Lord, empower me, give me your blessing so that whatever I'm getting from this lecture, I'm able to apply in my own life. But generally what happens, because we're conditioned, we look at the Bhagavatam class as an opportunity to gather information. Those who are preachers refer to it as masala. Just like when you have a preparation, right? Without spices, the preparation is very bland. But the more spices and the more you know how to put them together, then the preparation becomes very tasteful and very attractive for the person you're serving it to. So sometimes in order to make sure that our preaching is not quote-unquote boring and we don't come across in the wrong way, so what we do, we come to Bhagavatam class or we sit in the association of people here in Krishna Katha looking for the great analogies and the great points. The rest of the stuff, like you're not the body, you know, this is not your real home, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we don't pay attention to. We're waiting for what did this Acharya said about this point. What is Bhaktivinoda Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur? We're writing this down, all the different analogies and acronyms, because there is, we have more taste for those things. But applying what we hear in our own life, we're not interested. And this kind of listening is called Burunda listening. So if you see the Burunda bird, then you... If you have this same kind of attitude to hearing Bhagavatam, then you're the Burunda bird. And the third type is the bull. And it's explained that one of the characteristics of the bull is that the bull will eat anything, right? So the bull doesn't distinguish between sweet grapes or pungent oil cakes. So the blind person who listens to everything but has no intelligence to discriminate between good and bad is called a bull listener. Yeah? So in Shastra explained, Lord Chaitanya explained to one of his associates that when you hear from a Mayavadi, it can actually destroy one's devotion. So it isn't the case that we just hear whatever. Yeah? Because one of the biggest problems with devotees is not so much that we don't hear. It's just what we do when we're not hearing. What else are we hearing? Yeah. So if you take the sound vibration from the Bhagavatam, you haven't realized it yet. So the whole idea is to keep it in your heart. And under the right circumstances, you're able to apply in your life and get that realization. But if you have it here, you haven't applied it yet, you're not in the most secure and sound position because you haven't got that realization. So when you're in that position and then instead what you go and do is hear something else which is not connected to Krishna, because of so many lifetimes engaging in hearing mundane topics and so much attraction for those mundane topics, they have enough power to smother the fire of devotion, which you're just beginning to ignite within your heart through the hearing the Bhagavatam. So when we hear Krishna Katha, and then later on we're going to hear Gramya Katha, we go hear some kind of mundane topics, then the Krishna Katha is not given the opportunity to take hold within our heart. So if we're that type of person, then we're none different from the bull. Although the bull is represents dharma, in this particular scenario, it's not appropriate. Then the fourth type of bad hearer is referred to as the camel. And one thing the camel likes to do is that a camel, unlike the bull, which we hear everything, the camel rejects the good stuff. So the camel rejects sweet mango leaves and chews instead the bitter neem leaves. So one who rejects the sweet narrations about the Lord and hears instead mundane topics is called a camel listener. Yeah? So most of us generally we're not in that position. We do hear Krishna Katha also, but our problem is we hear other things as well. But if we do ever find ourselves in a position where we continuously rejecting the opportunity to hear about the Supreme Lord, when we get the opportunity to, then we know we're a camel. And then there are four types of good hearers that are also described in the Bhagavad Mahatmya. The first type of good hearer is a bird that we often hear about. This is the Chataka bird. Prabhupada sometimes talks about this bird. It's a bird which... some people call it a mythical bird because we've not seen it ourselves, but there is a type of bird that exists. The great souls have seen these birds, which has got its ability, it's got its attraction for water, just like every other bird likes to drink. But what this bird likes is to get water directly from the cloud. Yeah? So this Chataka bird does not take water from any source other than the rain cloud. So one who does not hear any scripture or book other than those related to Lord Krishna is called a Chataka listener. Yeah? So this is basically like the complete opposite of the bull. Complete opposite of the bull and the camel. The Chataka bird, we reject everything else and only think Krishna Katha, Krishna Katha. And what makes this bird very special is that obviously to get the water from the rain clouds, you have to contend with thunder bolts. But a Chataka bird will undergo these austerities in order to derive the water from the rain clouds. When the opportunity to drink water is there and the puddles on the ground, you reject that and go straight for the rain cloud. So a devotee who's able to bypass all the opportunities to hear mundane topics and rejects them, no matter how enticing they are, when someone comes and starts discussing someone else's misdemeanors and starts gossiping, if we're able to reject that and instead focusing on Krishna Katha, then we are Chataka bird. Then the second type of bird is a swan. We can extract milk from a mixture of milk and water, and who can extract the essential topics of Lord Krishna while listening to various topics. This type of person is a swan listener. So just like a swan can separate, yeah? In the same way, someone is able to, you've reached the point of hearing where you develop such a efficiency. You become so adept that even when someone is talking nonsense, if for some reason you're in association with someone talking nonsense, you're able to see the connection with Krishna. And that's a person is referred to as a swan. And the third type, again, bird is a parrot who can recite to his master and others whatever he has been taught. So one person who can repeat nicely whatever topic is heard from the scripture to his guru and other listeners is called a parrot listener. Because in order to repeat, you have to hear properly. Okay? So if you hear properly and then you're also able to share what you heard properly, you're a parrot listener. Sometimes we say that we shouldn't repeat things in a parrot fashion. So that's a different context, trying to illustrate another point specifically. But here, the point being made is that one has to hear so well that if people were to ask them what was discussed in the class, you can repeat everything, right? From beginning to end. If you're able to do this, then you're a parrot. This is a good type of hearing. Then the fourth type of good hearer is a fish. And the type of fish being spoken of here is a fish situated in the ocean of milk. So it says that just as the fish that is situated in an ocean of condensed milk quietly drinks milk without blinking its eyes, one who quietly hears Srimad Bhagavatam while relishing the topics and staring unblinkingly at the speaker is called a fish listener. So here the point is being made about attention. Again, paying attention and being attentive to what we're hearing. It's like a fish does not blink very red. I've not spent much time observing fishes, but according to the Bhagavad Mahatmya, this is a characteristic of one needs to develop. So in Bhagavatam, explained that potent hearing requires pure living. So this is a verse from, I think this is from the first canto. It says that in the purport, Prabhupada explains that simple hearing is not all. One must realize the text with proper attention. The word Nivishta means that Suta Goswami drank the juice of Bhagavatam through his ears. That is the real process of receiving Bhagavatam. One should hear with rapt attention from the real person. And then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Sri Krishna in person in the pages of Bhagavatam. So there's a correlation to the way we live our life, between the way we live our life and the amount of focus and attention we can give to the Bhagavatam. Right? Just like I give the example that the 2 hours of your chanting in the morning will be determined, the quality of those 2 hours will be determined by the quality of the other 22 hours in the day. So the process is not a mechanical process where, okay, I've done everything now, let me sit down and hear the Bhagavatam. I've heard this is a good speaker, he comes from a very good temple in India, they study Bhagavatam a lot, he's going to give a lot of amazing analogies, everything will make sense to me. But if the way we live our life before coming to sit in front of the speaker is not according to scripture, is not according to the principles of Krishna consciousness, then the mind is not going to cooperate when we come to sit down. Like that. So many lifetimes we spend training the mind to take us away from Krishna. And then suddenly we think we can come and sit down for 2 hours and then, okay, no problem, what do you want to hear? Tell me, I'll zone in on that for you. No, who the hell do you think you are? Yesterday you were telling me it's okay to go browsing the web and then spending time on this website. And then suddenly you wonder, what kind of hypocrite are you? So the mind will do that to us. So here, the final point is that if you don't remember anything about bull hearer, fish hearer, chataka bird hearer, at least when you're outside of Bhagavatam, whatever you're doing should be in line with Krishna consciousness. Because if you do that, even if you're struggling to hear Bhagavatam properly, Krishna will help. But if you don't do that, but you think if you can come and sit here and then in the Padmasana position, do all of these mudras and all of this stuff, Krishna is not a fool. So Krishna won't help. And the sound vibration won't enter the heart because Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. And Krishna won't enter a heart he's not really interested in entering. So to make that heart fit and suitable for the sound vibration to enter and take hold and make itself at home within the heart, we have to make sure that everything we do on a daily basis is in line with scripture. We have to make sure that we are Krishna conscious even when we're not hearing the Bhagavatam. And that's very simple. Prabhupada has given us a process. Chanting Hare Krishna, associate with devotees, take prasadam, right? And hear Bhagavatam. And if we can do this sincerely, then everything else will fall into place. Because everything starts from hearing. This is the point Narada Muni is making here, that the solution to all problems is hearing about the glories of the Supreme Lord. But the quality of hearing is very important, that we do invest in that. Otherwise, we'll just be taking 1 step forward and 10 steps backwards. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop here. And we'd like to invite corrections, clarifications, chastisements. If anyone has any point they would like to add. We went over time, but we started late also, so please forgive me for that. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Anyone wants to add anything?